Okay. Learning from the seven churches or letters. Learning from the seven letters to the seven churches. And once again, the emphasis on this is to see that there are seven letters written in the Revelations to these seven, and they were actual churches. The important thing to us is all of these letters are talking to everybody. So think of the churches having some characteristics that we should have and some characteristics we need to stay away from and some extreme dangers. In this, we have to understand where he's given us. So we're learning from each of these groups what they've done right, what they've done wrong. Where we last left off was, who remembers? What did we do last? Pergamum. So we did Pergamum, correct? Okay, so we're on Thyatira. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Revelations, Revelations 2, verse 18. And once again, in each of these letters, remember now, just like the rest of the Bible, God, who is Jesus, wrote these letters. But it was through John. Do you understand? Who is the, think of him as the secretary or the transcriptionist. He just took the notes that, and that's how the Bible was written. That's why we have to be careful sometimes when somebody says, well, you see Paul, he must have gone through this and then he wrote this. And you should take offense or be a little hesitant when you hear them preach that way. That's dangerous because they didn't write that. It's not something Paul thought up and, oh, and through my, now it may have their mark on it. And what I mean by that is it may sound like something how Paul would say it. But it's from God. And the Bible lets us know that. Okay, so be very careful of that. So as he starts off, he gives an introduction to Christ, just like he gives a conclusion in the end to the rewards or to the punishment. So in this church, in verse 18 of Revelations 2, it says, to the angel of the church of Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. Now stop right there. Unfortunately, this is the one that a lot of people misinterpret when we go through our race arguments and say, well, see, he's black. Has nothing to do with it. Please don't get caught up in that, okay? These, once again, these symbolisms are very important. We're not saying white or black, and that doesn't matter. Do you understand? He was a Jew when he was down here, and that's where it ended there. But he's Christ. He, you know, God, all of us came from the same Father. We have no idea what color Adam, we have no idea what from Adam to to Noah, what color they were. No clue. Do you understand that? None. People may say they do. None. And it doesn't matter. Okay, so I just want to make sure we keep that in mind. But people use this because they're saying the words of the Son of whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. They'll say, oh, see, unless he got a tan, he had to be black. So just be careful because people use these things to argue that. And then some will say, no, he had this, so he had to be white. Others say he had to. Don't get caught up in that. But I just want to make sure I put that out there. Now he starts off like he's saying again, I know your deeds. When we preach grace wrong, we miss this part that our deeds are going to be displayed. And remember, I don't live so my works make me righteous, but if I'm righteous, my works will show it. Keep that in mind, okay? That's how it is. Your works are an evidence that you are righteous. So if you're not, that's where your deeds will show. Your deeds actually give that. He said, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Okay, so this church is growing. Unlike Ephesus, whose love disappeared. Remember I told you, you're not loving me the way you did at first? Even though they're still working hard, their purpose was disappearing. And this one, he's saying, you're doing more. I'm seeing you as a church grow, which is good. Nevertheless, so that was, we see the first part where he went over the their praise, but here's their rebuke. I have this against you. You, what's the next word? Tolerate. Tolerate. And this is a very common problem in the church. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Now, we know he's not talking about the original Jezebel because she's dead, yeah, out of the Old Testament. But it's implied that she represents that person, Jezebel, and, you know, the one that was married to King Ahab and who was just a wicked, wicked woman. Okay, so as we see in this one, but it's saying this one who calls herself. Now, do y'all like this? Not like this. Pay attention to this. Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Remember now the question that was asked about taking pride in yourself, but you have to test yourself. See, this is somebody who just claimed an answer. I'm a prophetess. This is why it's dangerous. When you test yourself based on the Bible, you won't just label yourself. God will label you. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? So it's saying, this woman is saying, I'm a prophetess. And you have some people going, oh, well, then I'm going to follow her. I'm going to follow. You understand? That's the danger. But it's saying, this who calls herself a prophetess, by her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. So she's giving these false teachings and misleading God's people. He's saying, my servants, he's misleading them. It says, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So the thing, this teacher, he's saying, I'm giving her an opportunity to turn it around, but he's saying she's doomed. He says, so I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. Now understand, the one, it's already saying this false teacher is going to be punished. But it's also saying those who have adultery, basically, if I'm a Christian, but I'm dabbling in this, I'm part of that who are committing adultery. Do y'all get that? Remember that one verse we read about, you know, being careful how our relationship with the world wastes, friendship with the world is enemy to God. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing. That's why he starts off with, you adulterous people. As Christians, our relationship is to God completely. What's happening in this is they call themselves Christians, but they keep having this other relationship. And we're going to explain even more so how that can work in ours if we're not careful. He's like, they will suffer intensely unless, everybody say unless, they repent of their ways. Okay, repentance is first acknowledging, then apologizing, then turning. Okay, it's those three things, those three elements in order to be truly repentant. If you just say, I'm sorry, but you're still doing the same thing, that's not repentance. If you just claim what you did wrong, but you don't change anything, that's not repentance. You understand? Repentance does take all three things, confessing of your sin, apologizing for your sin, turning from your sin. Do y'all get that? That's repentance, and that's what we're supposed to do. And it goes on, he says, so I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make her, those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Now, who are her children? This is not, once again, talking about her physical children. This is talking about followers. And not just followers, teachers that came from her. So these other people that started their own little groups based on her teachings. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? Okay, and there's a lot of these. Now I'll explain how that works. He said, I will strike her children dead. Then all churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. Remember, your heart represents your purpose. Your mind represents your path. Heart represents your purpose. Mind represents your path. And I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Not saying based on your deeds, but your deeds will display what you are. Okay? He's given us a whole lot of ammunition we can use here. He says, now watch this. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. All right. Then he says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them into pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, I'm going to give a couple of things here, first of all. So, understand, this is why we have to be so careful with false teaching. Sometimes we hear things that sound and feel good. And that's why this Jezebel gets it. She offers things, and like she said, they were doing things that are totally against the Bible. Committing adultery, it's saying committing sexual sins and eating off of idols. Now, like we see today, people are teaching things where they're distorting marriage. We see things where people are allowing things in the church that God's totally against. We see rituals that we are doing in churches that we're calling holy, that the Bible never calls holy. That's why you always have to ask the question, where is that at in the Bible? Because as he's putting here, he's saying your deeds are going to show it. Do you understand? So in other words, my actions have to display what the word is. And that's where I'll know if my teaching is right. If it's not, then we have a problem. Do you understand it? And you're held accountable for that. If you notice, he's not just saying this false teacher. She's doomed. He gave her a chance to repent. She didn't. Okay? But he's saying her followers and the people she mentored. Do y'all get this? They can't go. Remember I told you, be very careful. One of the worst things a person can do, and we see a lot of them today, play the victim. Okay? It's very easy for us to play the innocent, but I didn't know. I thought I was being told. He gives you everything you need for life and godliness, doesn't he? So when I play the victim, that's why he always says, do not be deceived, do not be misled. Why is he telling you these commands? If you notice, he doesn't say, try not to be misled. No, he says, do not be deceived. Why? Because you have everything you need not to be deceived if you just stop being deceived. That's a choice. So stop playing the victim, and this is where this one comes off. She's coming off in a way where she's misleading, and those people are in trouble, where she's showing wrong. But the thing I love about this, too, he's saying there are going to be some people in this church, and they have this teacher, but these people are not changing. So they're hearing this teaching, and they're going, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And the reason why I put that, because I've been in churches before where the pastor had such a hold, you'd have other members get mad at you for not following the pastor. Y'all see the problem? Okay? And what I mean by that is not following God, the pastor. Pastors will make a change. Somebody will ask a simple question of, Pastor, but doesn't the Bible say blah, 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 blah? And they'll go, I can't believe you're questioning the pastor. Do y'all get that? And then people get mad at that person, and he's saying the people who kind of say, I'm sorry, I love you, Pastor, but, and everybody else is bashing. That's why he says, to those who overcome, because by their actions, you're going to see them going, the rest of them are doing that. I can't do that. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? Okay, I'm not following that. And this is where he's saying. He's saying those are going to be the ones that are rewarded. Okay? And then he says, even at the end of verse 27, he will rule with an iron scepter. So once again, a lot of the future of our ruling and dealing and how that's going to be, we get bits and pieces of it. God gives us just enough. And he says, and I will give him the, I just want to show you something here that a lot of people may miss. Verse 28 says, I will give him the what? Morning star. Now there's, Jesus is known as the morning star, right? Something else was known as the morning star. Lucifer. Did y'all know that? And that's what I'm saying. The reason why you rarely hear me refer to Satan as Lucifer, because it's only one time in the Bible, and they had to almost translate it. Lucifer is the Latin version of what morning star means. And that's what when he was giving him this saying, he was saying, you were the morning star. Basically, you were an angel at the time, and you really glowed, and you did what you were supposed to, and then then you were evil. That's it. Somebody found the Latin name of it, which is Lucifer. And then we think, oh, his name used to be Lucifer, and then it was changed to Satan. That's not in the Bible. So y'all be careful with that. Okay, that's why I'm saying only you'll see it only in King James, and you won't find it any other way, and it's only in that one verse in Isaiah. Other than that, you won't find Lucifer in the Bible. But that's another one of those things we took and we ran with it. Now people write books on Lucifer and how his name was this and this and that, and that's not necessarily what we find in the Bible. Just a little side note. Okay, let everybody know. But so do you see how this, let's go back to the page to see how that breaks down. Any questions so far?
The question was, how can they both be morning star?
So the morning star is a complement of morning star representing a light. So it's basically saying as an angel, you are an angel that represented light. Okay, Jesus is the morning, just like we are the light of the world. I'm sorry, just like we are the light of the world, but Jesus is the light of the world. So in other words, it's saying at the one time, Satan, you were an angel that displayed light. You know, you displayed, were, yes. You know what I mean? But now you have fallen. Okay, so when you read those things on Satan, he fell and all that. But when they see the word morning star, the Latin translated the word morning star is Lucifer. Does that make sense? The translation of that word, yes. The translation of that word is Lucifer. That's all that is. So, all right, back to the... So to the paper to see the breakdown of it. So Thyatira. So first of all, their praise. So in this church, if you look at this church as a whole, look what he says. The good deeds, he says, love and faith and good deeds. So he says he's seen all of those characteristics. That's a good thing to have. So they had a lot of good deeds. So if you heard about this church and talked about them, you heard they were always there doing good deeds. They displayed love. This is agape love, so that's a blessing, that's a great thing. And faith, they did a lot of things based on faith. So the stuff that they did do right was fully based on the Bible, is what they're saying here. Do y'all get that? Okay? So service and perseverance, okay? So in other words, they were very functional and effective church, as what the church is supposed to be in the world. And they're doing more than they did at first. So you see them growing. Great. All that stuff is great. Okay, the problem is toleration. So it didn't say this church was teaching what Jezebel taught. They tolerated the teaching of Jezebel. Now, understand what that means. You can go to a church, and if it's 80% truth and 20% wrong, you have a problem. If you go to a church and it's 90% truth and 10% wrong, there's a problem. When we have 100% truth, you're tolerating something. Do y'all get that? And this is where the problem, this is where people have to understand that even that little bit of tolerating little yeast spreads the whole entire way. And that's why he says you tolerate it. He's not saying Jezebel took over the church and they just had this wrong. That would have just been a big rebuke. If you notice, the first half is giving them this praise of, what you're doing well in, you're doing well in, and you're growing, and you're doing better. Here's a problem. You got this teaching that's going on over here. And we have churches that allow or tolerate stuff that are not in the Bible. And they'll have their emotional, cultural, intellectual, or ignorant reasons for doing it. But God's not allowing it. But we're tolerating it. Does that make sense? And you won't find it in the Bible, but we'll tolerate. I told you when the man found out his son was homosexual, and then he was a pastor, and he's the one who officiated their marriage. And next thing you know, he's now on this campaign to go out and get rights for them. And so, now we're not supposed to be mean to anybody. Do you understand? And that is where we failed on that, because we failed on the one end of that. But we're not supposed to then accept something that God is against. In the church. You can't do that. Do you understand that? Church was never meant to go, okay, we'll allow you to get married because you love each other based on me. Now that's me taking my own intelligence and challenging something God said. Do y'all see the danger in that? It doesn't matter how you feel about it. And please don't put how you feel about it in it, because then that's where we mess up. Because if we hate it, we show our hate. It has nothing to do with God. You know what I mean? If we love it, we show our love. It has nothing to do with God. We're supposed to not tolerate it. You have to go, I can't support it if it's not in God's word. Do y'all get that? Everybody see that? So the tolerating of Jezebel, okay? And it broke down with Jezebel, her teachings and the stuff she was doing. His command, simply put, was to repent. He gave her a chance to repent. Basically, as a false teacher, she is in trouble. Okay? She is in trouble. The command is to repent. Okay? Repentance is that, like I said, confessing your sin, apologizing for it, turning away from it. The punishment that's going to happen, first of all, Jezebel will suffer intensely. So this false teaching and what she represents, she's going to suffer. She is in suffering is hell. Okay? Along with those who first commit adultery with her. Now, that's just those who are listening, accepting. They don't necessarily have to be teachers and applying. Do y'all get that? They're in that teaching, they're applying, and that's why you got to check every aspect of what you're doing. Sometimes if I can fool you into thinking I'm a godly, blah, 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 you'll take whatever I say. Just like a con man. And that's what a lot of these false teachers are. You read in Jude and 2 Peter where it talks about the false teachers, it really shows their characteristics. They're con artists. They lead you into, wow, and then I can now tell you anything and make you think it's something that's great. You understand that, all right? And it makes you think I'm giving you something more, doing something more for you, okay? And it says, so she's going to suffer. Those who commit adultery with her are going to suffer. And it says her children. So think of it as those she mentored. So those who now, they might not even be in church anymore, but their teachings are now based on what they were taught from her. You understand that? Okay, that's why you have to check everything. So you start a church based on her teaching. You can't go, well, I'm sorry, it's all I was taught. You were supposed to check it. Does everybody get that? Okay, it's our responsibility to check it. And it says God will repay each one according to his deeds. In other words, when he says according to his deeds, he's saying the way you'll know if you are following her, watch your life. That's the only way I know you. It's the only way you know me. I can call myself a Christian until I'm blue in the face. Christianity will be displayed. How do I live? Do y'all get that? How do I live? Remember, it's the evidence of my Christianity. I give you three trees, and until you see the fruit, and unless you're some expert, you have no idea what these trees are. You'll be like, that's an orange tree, I think. That's how you'll know. Until you see orange, oh, that's an orange tree. You understand it? It's the same thing with us. So the tree can say, if it could talk, I'm an apple tree. And you see all these oranges popping off and you're like, no. And the same thing we do. I'm a Christian. While you see all these bad fruit popping up on you. You see where I'm coming from. So in the same way, he's saying, I'll be able to tell by your deeds. But that's our evidence also. You know, 1st, 2nd John tells us that. He's like, do you want to know if you're a Christian? Check your actions. Check your life. Don't go off your emotions. And this is why I even tell us, don't encourage people in their emotional. Don't worry, you're a Christian and God loves you. Yes, he loves you. That's why he gave his son. But that's why in his love, he also rebukes you. In his love, he also disciplines you. Why? Because he wants you to get away from you and to grow in him. Everybody get that? Okay. So that's the punishment. And he already gave that clear punishment. Now here's the reward. Overcomers will be given authority over nations and will rule with an iron scepter. They will also be given the morning star. Now, a lot of people limit this just to the millennium. A lot of people say, because you know, in the millennium, they're going to be priests and kings. We do know about that. What we don't know is after the millennium, and the millennium is 1,000 years that happens between tribulation and the great white throne judgment. What happens after that? We really don't know. There's bits and pieces that the Bible gives us of what's going to happen, of what we're going to be, how's that going to work. Remember, they said none will be given in marriage during that time. We don't have an idea, but we get hints like this one. You're going to rule. What are you going to rule? It's just interesting, but you stop there. I'd be wrong if I go, what we're going to rule is we're going to build other nations. I can't do that. It's just, there's something here. And just like I said, like the other things he gave, we just rejoice and say, amen. There's a reward that's maybe beyond what we understand right now. And we just thank God for it. Okay, but he's saying they will rule with iron scepter. They will also be given the morning star, given the morning star, given Christ, or even given that light to display that. And once again, you may say, so what does that mean? He doesn't give emphasis on it. We just know, just like remember the last one, he said, I'll give you a stone, white stone with your name written on it. Right? What does that mean? Like I said, some people are like, so I'm going to get a rock with my name on it. Really? Well, a Christian recognizes, man, that must be something big. I don't know what it is, but man. And that's what he's saying. Doesn't necessarily mean we understand it, but because it's coming from him, this is going to be a great thing. The people who get that rock, that stone with your name on it, is going to be such a powerful, joyous man thing to get. I mean, we just can't, right? We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. But because God said it, we're like, that's what I want that. I'm striving for something I don't understand, but I want it. Does that make sense? Everybody understand? Because remember, think about it. Abraham was getting a blessing where he says your children are be more than all the stars in the sky. Did Abraham get to see that? So why was he so excited to get that? Do y'all see where I'm coming from? Because his joy was in the Lord. And when God said, I'm going to bless you with something, even though I don't get to see it, man, I can't. So there's something more to it. But when I look at it through my human eyes, unless I'm gratified by it, then I really don't want it. Like, well, still give me that. Can I have $1 million? No. You know what I mean? And that's how we act. We act for the temporary now instead of the eternal later. Okay? So here are the lessons learned from Thyatira. Am I mic off? Oh, here it is. Okay. It says, increase in good works and patience. Increase in good works and patience. So this should be a growing. Huh? No, I don't. So there. Why is it skipping?
It just started, though.
It just started? Okay. Tell me if it, I'm wondering if the battery's going up. I hope it's not. What does it say on the front of that screen back there for battery? No, the screen is sticking this way, looking this way. Yeah, no, I had to put it back up to my mouth, so I think it should say time.
11 hours.
Okay, it says 11 hours. Okay, so I got a lot of time. So I'm wondering if I was aiming to. Okay, let's keep an eye on it. All right, so increase in good works and patience. Please don't get stagnant and complacent. You know, as Christians, we grow. Now, it's not talking about just in volume. Don't be one of those Christians that just does more. You have some Christians that just wear themselves out just trying to do a whole lot of stuff. This is not just talking about, he's seeing a growth, a maturity in it, and how you're doing it. But you're still doing it, and you're doing it more. And because as you grow as a Christian, you'll start off doing it to where it becomes something that defines you. Remember, my life should be Christianity. That should define. So my work should be something that just happens, but I am a Christian. When we start off, we happen to be a Christian that goes to work, and our work may have more emphasis in our lives. Our families may have more emphasis in our life, but as time goes on, you start seeing those things fall into your Christianity. So you see more of an increase in that, and it'll show in your works and in your patience. Check all teachers and what is taught. I can't stress that enough. You hear me say it about me. Even you're learning this now, you go home and you check it. Test all teachers. You know what I mean? We're going to be wrong. We're going to miss things. You understand that? The human aspect is still going to kick in at times. But not just those that you got to be careful with, the ones that are purposely wrong. Remember, I was talking about motives. Once your motives change, then you start distorting the word. And not just my motives. Let's say I started teaching. Let's say, you know, we can get kind of sparse and not a lot of people show up. And then I change the word a little bit and then other people start showing up. Okay? Remember, it says in 2 Timothy 3:4, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. So if I said, hey, I'm not going to preach this anymore, and the people start coming to church, and I do stop doing it, now I just distorted it for the people. Y'all see where I'm coming from? So it becomes a dangerous thing. So that's why check everything. Test everything. Okay? And then understand, we are held accountable for all of our deeds. Not, you don't work good to be righteous. It's if you're righteous, you'll work good. Okay? So check your deeds. If you see parts of you in attitude, in response, in dealing with things, question it. Ask accountability people to do it. And here's, let me be very careful with you people who are accountability, and that's all of us. When somebody asks you to be your accountability, you have a responsibility to be godly accountable, not youly accountable. Okay? You can't go, well, your problem is you talk too much, only because you don't like talking. Do y'all see the problem? You get some that'll judge them based on yourself, not based on God. You'll tell them something that has nothing to do with God, and you think you're holding them accountable. That's dangerous. Do not do that. Okay, make sure it's fully based on God. So that means you got to be very careful. Think of it as you're a doctor and your diagnosis is between life or death. So you can't make up something because it gets on your nerves. So that means I got to check myself. In other words, remove the plank out of my eye before I can remove the speck out of yours. So be very careful when we help it. But we are required to help others. So as I watch your life, you may go, there's a problem. Don't go, oh, that's just the way they are. You see a Christian that has an attitude, a Christian that's distant, a Christian that's cold, a Christian that's mean, all these things that are not based on the Bible. Immediately, we as Christians go, how am I going to help my brother? Not, oh, that's just the way they are. How many evil Christians y'all know that we just give them a pass? Ignorant Christians, we know we just give them a pass. Right? We go down the list. We know they got these bad traits. They're living this way. And we just kind of, well, they've always been away since we were kids. That's unacceptable. Y'all get this? Okay, and that's our fault, and we should say something to them. Questions on Thyatira? All right, we'll do the next one, then we'll close. Church of Sardis. They made sardines. Now, all right, so the Church of Sardis, so if you go to Revelation 3, verse 1, Revelation 3, verse 1, he says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now, we know the seven is the number of completeness. We know the spirits of God, they represent something. They represent a lot more. We did things on spirit, not to get too deep in them, and the seven stars, which represent churches or angels. Of some sort, okay? Anytime you see star in the Bible, it was a representation of an angel. He says, I know your deeds. Once again, he says, that's a line that he says in many of the churches, I know your deeds. He's saying, I watched you. I see what you're doing. Do you understand that? When he says, I know your heart, it's going to be displayed in how you live. Okay, so very important. He says, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Now, this is just like we read in, we're going to read later about a church in Laodicea. This is one of those which the world gives you one thing, but he's telling what you really are. Very important. You got where I'm coming from. The world says, oh, that church. Or you have people, oh, that church. Reputation. He's not saying you think you are. He's saying, no, you have a reputation of. But he's saying, but let me tell you what you really are. Very important. I'll explain that. But you are dead, he's saying. Wake up, strengthen what remains, and is about to die. In other words, he's saying you are fading away. He says, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Very important what he's saying, and we'll go over that. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it, and repent. Stop there for a minute. He kind of breaks this down on how we can see how they're dead. He's saying, remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. What did he say? Obey it. Now, once again, remember, that's where I know your deeds. And repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. So you have some that are doing exactly what he's telling them. So there's some in the church. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. So now there's members in this group that he's saying that I'm going to pull out of this group. Because they're being faithful to me in the way they're supposed to. And then he goes and gives us the ending conclusion. He who overcomes will be like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. Some read this, and you have to look at it, and implies that he's saying, but there are some I can blot out the book of life. Some argue this, but look how he said it. He says, I will never, he's saying, for this one, I will never blot out the name of the book. So if it was impossible for him to do that, why would he even say this? Do y'all get this? Okay, once again, for the whole eternal security thing. He says, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, breaking this one down, this church as a church is rebuked. This is why we have to be careful as church organizations not to be labeled by the world. Do y'all get this? The world calls a lot of churches great. People in the world call a lot of Christians great. Do y'all understand this? All right? And if you don't pay close attention, you're falling right along. Go, that's a great church. That's a great person. And he's saying, that's the reputation you have. But God is saying, but I'm going to tell you what you are. And if you start getting caught up in the hype, and this is a very common practice in which we get caught up in a hype of a reputation and not in God's answer to it. Once again, how do I know if they really are what their reputation is really saying? I'm going to watch them. I'll go in the Bible and they go, yep, they represent all this. If I don't see it, then you have a problem. Do y'all get this? Okay? And this is where people messed up, especially when the prosperity church used to mess up on the money, the size, the dress, the volume. They put all that and people go, wow, because of their growth, like businesses, we give them their props. That's a great church. Not based on God's word, but based on how they looked on a bad reputation. Does everybody get that? Y'all see how dangerous that is. And this, like I said, it's an eye-opening thing to us. So breaking them down in the church of Sardis, he says, a few people had not soiled their clothes. If you notice, not for this praise for the church is not for the church. It's for a few people in the church. Okay? So in reality, this church really didn't get a praise. It just happens to be a few members. He's saying they're sitting there, y'all are doing wrong, they're not participating. Y'all get that? Okay? So, I mean, and usually I always tell people, if you're in a church that's doing that, you need to leave and go to another church. But let's say this church is an area that they had no other options. So this one's still trying to receive the word. They're probably ministering in small groups. They're doing the best they can. But they're still just following God. They're in this church. Unlike the church of Thyatira that was teaching right, but they had false teaching, this church is false teaching and slowly dying. That's what he said. What bits of you that are still alive, you need to really rev it up or you're going to lose everything, is what he's saying to them. Okay, so a few people have not soiled their clothes. So there's not a bunch of false teaching and garbage put in there. But the rebuke was, had the reputation of being alive, but they were dead. Had a reputation. Please don't believe the reputation hype. It has to be. The way you measure a church is based on God. That's the only way. You measure it based on somebody going, oh man, you got to go, they're fire, and this, that, blah, blah. All that sounds great. What is that based on? I grew up in a lot of what we call feel-good churches, in which I went there and I came out feeling good. Years later, when I started studying what I was feeling good about, it was wrong. But don't drugs do the same thing? Alcohol does the same thing? You know what I mean? Anything that gratifies feels good, but it's wrong. Amen? Be very careful of that. Okay? And it says, so it had a reputation of being alive, but they were dead. And his command to them, wake up. Waking up simply means, like he says, being alert, is recognizing. It's for them stopping taking the hype from the world and going, well, let me really check and see what we're doing. Do you understand that? I, as a pastor, have to check FSG daily, and I do it a lot, and through my prayers, through asking other people, through checking, I want to make sure, are we following? Even when we have our board meetings, one thing I always ask, end of the year, I always ask the deacons, what is it we haven't done that we're not? And I want to hear spiritual answers. Do you understand? When I get advice, it's either or. You know, I kind of take that and take it for a grain of salt. When I hear somebody say, well, the Bible says this, pastor, and we're not doing this, amen. You understand that? Okay, or we are doing this, and the Bible does. That's all. That's the main thing I want to hear. That's the end notes I really want to hear. And that's what we're supposed to. That's the waking up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. He's saying this church is dying out and has very little to live. And it says, obey what you have received, heard, and repent. Obey. Do it. Do what the Bible says. Stop doing stuff that you think make you look good. Do what the Bible says. Does that make sense? Everybody get this? And it says, if not, the punishment will, Christ will come like a thief in the night to those who do not wake up. And that, in this case, it's not rapture. This is not a good thing. It's basically saying he's coming, they're in trouble. You understand that, okay? And it's basically going to take away what they have. And the reward overcomers will be dressed in white, and their names will be not blotted out of the book of life, which is implying there are others that will be blotted out of the book of life, and they will be recognized before before angels and God. So the lesson we learn from the Church of Sardis is be godly. Don't just give the perception of being godly. God is the measure. God is the measure. I don't want somebody coming here and just saying FSG is godly. I don't want somebody coming here and saying Keith is godly. I want to know I am based on God. If they say, Keith, you are godly because of the clothes you wear, we have, thank you, move on. You understand that? I don't go, I got to buy more of these clothes, Lisa, whatever these are, because they make me look holy. And that's what we get caught up in. We get caught up in worldly hype. He next says, be awake and alert to fix what is wrong. Okay? Everybody every day should go, what is the matter? We did critiquing, we'll do it next year, critiquing 101. You all should have an accountability partner, once again, that should be able to tell you what you're doing wrong, and you're ready to receive it. You should be sitting here, okay, I'm ready to receive what's wrong. And hopefully, once again, those who are doing their giving should prepare them for it. And finally, even if the church doesn't straighten up, each individual can. So if you're in one and you're really trying and the church is not changing, make sure you're accountable for you. Make sure, don't just go, well, if that's what they're doing, I'm just going to go along with it. Y'all get this? Any questions? All right. Let us pray.